Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us on the program. We come your way every week at this time on AM 1290, the NewsPress radio station. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. And we are also rebroadcast on Sundays at 3 p.m. Pacific time at A to Zen.fm. We're also archived at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, where you can link to, we have links to all of our guests, their websites, the information, and we encourage you to check that out. Check out their information. Check out what they have to offer. I think that you will be quite amazed at many of the things that they have to offer. You know, it's quite extraordinary how some of these interviews come about, and I am quite grateful for those folks who are interested in basically being on the program and talking about their vision for humanity, for the future, for our civilization, the betterment of our civilization. And today is absolutely no exception. We're going to be talking with a few people who are involved in the One World Academy, something a little different today. And what's even more, how can I say more different? That English doesn't sound right. It's extraordinary in many ways, especially because we are talking with our guests all the way from India. And we're talking about the One World Academy, and it is also available for those who are interested, who want to find out more. We are going to find out who founded the One World Academy. I think that's extremely important to know. Where did this vision come from, and what's really going on here? So we encourage you to stay with us and learn as much as you can, and check out the website, oneworldacademy.com. That's one world. They're all words, O-N-E-W-O-R-L-D, One World Academy. And that's ACADEMY.com. And our first guest here on the program is someone who's been involved with the Academy, if I'm correct, for a good portion of her life. And her name is Purnima. And Purnima, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Richard.
And you are in India as we speak. We have this incredible technology that allows us to speak around the globe, quite literally. My understanding was that anytime I was digging a hole in my dad's backyard, I was digging a hole to China. I have a funny feeling it's probably a little further to the east than that. But nonetheless, you are literally on the other side of the globe. And so I'm guessing it's probably nighttime there, midnight, 1, 2 a.m., what have you, 12 hours difference. And I thank you so much for being with us here on the program.
Thank you. My pleasure, Richard.
Now, are you of Indian descent? I mean, obviously the accent might say so, but hey, I don't know. You could have been American-born and then moved to India.
No, I'm an Indian descent.
And when you were born into this world, what faith or religion, if you will, did your parents instill in you?
My parents, by birth, I'm a Hindu. So my parents are Hindus, and I've been brought up in the Indian traditional Hindu tradition.
Okay. Now, when we start talking about the One World Academy, how closely connected to your spiritual roots is the Academy? And we'll get into the founder and his vision and so forth, but I'm just curious, was there a big transition for you?
See, One World Academy has no religious roots anywhere. So it is open to people from all beliefs. So basically, it has nothing to do with any religious systems or beliefs. So that way, it has no connection to the religious belief that I was born into also.
Okay. Now, My understanding, and again, I've had an opportunity to speak with you and many of your colleagues, the members of, I believe you are, as well as the others, are members of the faculty there at the One World Academy. And you have been involved. I mean, you're only in your, what, 30s, early 40s? But you've been involved with the Academy for a very, very long time. Tell me about that connection.
We all started, all of us have been into spiritual work and life the last 17, 18 years. And we joined a spiritual movement when we were very young. And we have been a part of the movement. And that is how, in fact, we also came to know of Krishnaji and Preetaji, who are the founders of One World Academy. So we were not a part of One World Academy. In fact, the Academy as an organization had not started then. But 3 years ago, we all of us became a part of One World Academy. So Krishnaji and Preetaji founded the Academy. So though the Academy was founded physically 3 years ago, the principles and the teachings and the concept of the Academy has been a part of Krishnaji's and Preetaji's life. They've been living it. And we were so deeply impacted by their thought, by their vision, that we became a part of One World Academy. And that is how. So as spiritual life itself has been a long period, but our coming into One World Academy has been the last 3 years.
Okay. Now, am I correct that you have, what can we call them, satellite academies around the world? You actually have one in North America, here in the United States?
We do have people who are representing One World Academy in North America, in the sense they are organizers who organize events. We have a faculty, a senior faculty. Yesterday, he was at Howard. He was addressing a group of students, 600 students, and important speakers also were a part of that. So so we have faculty traveling there and conducting events. But we don't have a center anywhere else in the world. The center is in India.
Okay. Now, the focal point of the One World Academy, as I've conversed with you and the others, focuses on one word in particular, but the mission statement that you have on the website says, live in awareness, discover life, and share your growth. You,
yes,
at the Academy teach the students, if you will, I guess that's what you would refer to them. They're not devotees,
yeah,
of the founder. They're students learning a concept, a principle, a set of teachings, and we'll get into that as well, dealing with getting through day-to-day life without one element that, from my upbringing, mm-hmm, was core. It was a sort of at the root, suffering. I was taught,
yeah,
that suffering was good, that it would bring you closer to God. That it would make you a holy person. So the more you suffered, the holier you could become. Didn't mean you did just because you suffered. You had to learn from the suffering, but that suffering could be turned into something good. That is not the message at the One World Academy, is it?
No. Krishnaji and Preetaji, who are the founders, they have a very radical a view of spirituality, which I would like to share. I think that would be a very good opening into the concept.
Yes.
The principles of One World Academy itself. Their view of spirituality is to be free of all those concepts, ideas, and conditioning that are binding us, that are causing us suffering, that are hurting us. They believe that suffering the state of suffering itself has no relevance to our process of living, to life. If you look at life, suffering is an inevitable experience in the process of living. When we are challenged in life, when we go through certain problems, a crisis, then there is suffering. We don't say that suffering does not arise. Suffering arises. But the choice to live in suffering or to come out of suffering is ours. And it is possible to be free of suffering, to live life free of suffering. That's what we believe. And the path they teach is the path of awareness. So the core of One World Academy is freedom from suffering. And suffering as an experience has no relevance to this process of living. Life is beautiful. Life is beautiful. Life as we experience through the, be it the sensory experiences that we have, be it the inner emotional experience of life itself, the spiritual experience of life. It's possible to have an extraordinary experience of life. Then why do we choose to live in suffering? And what does the suffering do to us? If we can reflect on this question, what is suffering doing to my life? Is it adding any value to my life? Is suffering actually making me into a better person? Is suffering doing something to me that can make the quality of my life better? If we are to actually reflect on this, then we would understand that suffering is actually a self-destructive pursuit. Living a life of suffering is a self-destructive pursuit. So we choose to move out of suffering. We would choose freedom from suffering. So that is the core of One World Academy.
Do you still experience suffering in your life?
Absolutely, Richard. Every one of us go through suffering. I do experience moments of disappointment, anger, fear, hurt. That is suffering, right? Suffering is any of these destructive emotional state. That is what we mean by suffering. Conflict is suffering. Fear is suffering. Jealousy is suffering. Guilt is suffering. So I do experience these states, but what I do is I have learned the art of awareness, the insights, the principles, the understanding that can help me move out of that state of suffering. And secondly, through life, we have gone through this experience of suffering so much that it has almost become habitual. We find our way into suffering. So many people, even in my own life experience, and I have spoken to lots of people who come and attend our programs, whom I guide in the processes, suffering is more a home state. It is an addiction to go back into that state. Whatever life situation may present itself, we tend to habitually move into that state of suffering. And each of us have our own story of suffering. For somebody, it's a story of rejection. For somebody else, it's a story of fear. So each of us have our own series of emotions, stories that build us into that state of suffering. They take us, lead us into that state of suffering. And so we need to become aware of this habitual state, this habit that we have gotten into, is leading us into this place of suffering. So it's more a habit. So it is very important to become aware of this habit and nurture beautiful states of being, auspicious states of being, like gratitude, compassion. So at One World Academy, we teach both. First level, the first step is to become free of suffering, to learn the art of awareness and become free of suffering. The second step is to nurture beautiful states of being like gratitude, compassion, love, and connection.
I find it very interesting as I have perused the faculty list, the team, that all of you are about the same age. All of you,
yes.
Yeah. And is that, is there something to that? I don't believe in coincidence. I call those coincidences. It seems to me that, you know, we're talking about folks who are in their 30s, early 40s, who are involved in this teaching. I keep wanting to use other words, this movement. It's not a movement. You're actually educating people, making them more aware, or helping them to become more aware. Is that a way to phrase
it? Yes, it is. We call One World Academy as a wisdom school. That's what people who come here, they name the academy as wisdom school because what we learn here is the art of living life, a joyous, meaningful, compassionate life. So that is what we learn here. And to answer your question, yes, we are all of the same age. In fact, we've been friends for the last 17, 18 years, like I told you.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us had this inspiration to do spiritual work, and we joined the spiritual movement, the same spiritual movement, 18 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the same age, like all of us were 16, 17, probably some of us were even like 14, 15. And our parents were also involved in the spiritual movement. We were all a part of it. And we knew Krishnaji and Preetaji. They were also a part of it. And then we stepped out of the movement because we had certain ideological difference. So we stepped out of it and we came to Krishnaji and Preetaji, a part of One World Academy. So we shared the same past and we've grown up together virtually. So that's our story.
Now, are you familiar at all with the history and the times of the 1960s in this country? In terms of the what is referred to, of course, as the hippie movement and flower power and people wanting peace and love, and they wanted us out of the war and all of these different things. And it didn't really last, you know. I mean, it did for quite a number of years, but it didn't have the impact. And there's a part of me that takes a look at what One World Academy is doing with, as you describe, these people that you have been associated with for almost two decades, which is almost two-thirds of your life. You know, it seems to me that your connection with these people is on a much deeper level than those people of, say, the 60s and early 70s, the hippie movement, if you will. You have a focal point. Can you speak to that at all?
Richard, yes, the connection is there, and the connection need not be lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Connection is more an inner experience,
right?
And whatever you have learned through those years, and the opportunity to serve, to meet thousands of people, and the opportunity to serve, contribute, it's been very beautiful. And we all carry that part within us. And it's in fact giving us tremendous strength and a lot of wisdom. All the life experiences have given us a lot of wisdom. So it's a part of us. Nothing can separate. That's a part of our consciousness, our being. And from there, we have moved on. We have moved on to learning more. Definitely, that has been the foundation. And we have built on that foundation, something more beautiful, something that can lead us further. So we can never cut the connection. We can never cut. For that matter, can we really cut the connection or move away from the experiences we have had as a child with our parents? That was like 16 years. And then this is another 16, 17 years. So all all our life experiences are a part of us.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious as to the relationships that you have developed with others since then. I have a feeling it's going to be difficult for you to sort of express this, only because what you have known has been so, how can I say this, connected with what you've only known for you know, at least one half to two thirds of your life. You haven't. It's kind of like when I hear people say that, say the United States is the greatest country on earth. My first question to them is, have you lived anywhere else to have something to compare it to? To just say that phrase doesn't mean anything. So when you talk about meaningful relationships today, can you do any comparison to relationships of your past that didn't have that kind of connection, that were not deep and meaningful and in that regard?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Richard. Life is full of different kinds of experiences. And in relationships, I have gone through moments of hurt, moments of disappointment. See, any relationship becomes a source of pain when we go through hurt. It's nothing to do with the person. That is, again, the core teaching of One World Academy with regards to relationships. We say how the person is not the cause of suffering. The person is not causing us hurt. Hurt is caused because of our own thinking. The meaning that we have attributed to that situation, to that response of that person. And that meaning is basically what's coming from our own life experience, our conditioning, our view, our concept of love, our idea of an ideal relationship, you know? So that is what is causing us pain. That is what is causing us hurt. So there have been moments when I have gone through those experiences and learning to heal that, learning to dissolve that pain has been my journey to evolve into, to take the relationship to a greater place, to a better place, and also to myself evolve into a better person. It's both the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we actually want to take a relationship to a greater place, to a greater place of love and connection, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily, we as an individual have to grow into a better human being, a more loving person, somebody who's able to connect more. That is when we'll be able to take the relationship itself to a better place. So it is about me becoming more forgiving, me learning to give up my hurt. If I may share a real-life story here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right now at the campus, we are having almost 30 people who are going through a week-long program. So the program is happening right now. The program is called Freedom in Living. That is our intensive that we host here at the campus. And the group of participants, very interesting group, most of them from Korea, a few from the U.S. and Europe. So I have a participant here, a lady whom I'm guiding in the process. So the process started yesterday. And yesterday night, I had a conversation with her, and she opened up and shared her story with me. She said she got into a relationship with a person, with a man. Right now, she is married to this person. 4 years ago, she got into this relationship. And this person is from a different country, different nationality, and he's from Germany, and she's from Norway. And she decided that the first time she met this person, she knew this is the person with whom she wants to spend the rest of her life. And the same response came from the other side. And then they decided to have a family together. And she got pregnant, and she was living in Norway, and he was still in Germany. So he would come and visit her, be with her, and go back. But during this entire period of pregnancy, he could not be with her because he was so preoccupied with his own career, with his family, parents there, and his family there. And he had so many personal problems. He felt so unsettled in life. And he was insecure because financially he had to face a lot of challenges. So he was so preoccupied with his own life that he could not give any attention to her. And in the meantime, she went through a huge emotional crisis. She felt abandoned, rejected. She felt not supported, very deeply hurt. And she was angry. And after the son was born for 1 year, they decided to part. And they, you know, actually got separated for a year or so. And then again, they came back. So she was sharing with me yesterday. She said, I have worked a lot on this story, on this emotional part of mine. The last 4 years, now my child is like 4 years. And last 4 years, it has been a huge journey. I try to apply every teaching in the world. I try to practice compassion. I even, you know, could understand. I can understand that he was so preoccupied with himself. I could respect that. But somehow, I moved back to this emotional place. Even today, a smallest trigger from his end is enough to push me back into this place.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I want to come out of this. That is my vision for this entire 1 week intensive. Because I see that this suffering, what this suffering is doing to me as a person, it has killed my joy. It has killed my happiness. It has made me into an irritated, frustrated woman, which I was not 4 years ago. I was not this person. And then she broke down. She said, you know, more than anything else, what it has done to me, it has completely destroyed compassion for myself. I'm so critical of myself now. I'm so critical. I'm judging myself all the time, and it is hurting me so much. I was not this person. I remember 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I used to be this very gentle person. I would sit down, and whenever I faced a challenge, I could just talk to myself like a mother would talk to her child with so much tenderness. I had this tenderness. Now I've lost it. I'm not even able to show it on myself, and how could I show it on my children? So this is what has happened to me. So yesterday and today, she's made a huge, beautiful progress. This evening, I was talking to her, and she said, I was asking her, what did you learn the last 2 days? What has been your journey? She said, the last 2 days has been very, very intense. And what I saw was, I saw how this entire edifice of my suffering was based on my beliefs, my conditioning that's coming from my family, the way I was brought up by my parents, and my conditioning about what an ideal family is. I saw that I have held this conditioning, this belief, so sacred, that family is so holy and loyalty and commitment, and this is how an ideal family has to be. I've held it in such a holy place in myself that I was not ready to give it up. I was not ready to see that this idea, though it's a beautiful idea, the idea of family being holy is so beautiful. But in unawareness, this idea has destroyed my happiness. It has destroyed my relationships, so much so that I'm blaming my husband that he has no compassion or care for me. But what have I become? I've become a self-centric human being. I've become a self-centric woman because all the time now, I'm blaming, I'm angry, that he is not this because my conditioning is driving me, this idea is driving me, this belief is driving me. So she said, it was so relieving to see that this belief was what was the cause of my suffering. And so she is there in that journey, and she is moving towards greater compassion. So this is the journey that we make, a journey out of suffering towards greater compassion, freedom, love, and connection.
So the first step truly is to become aware of these things, that these layers upon layers of pain and hurt, old behavior patterns, old family stories, etc., etc. That's the first step. Is that am I correct in that?
The first step, yes, Richard, is to become aware that we are suffering.
Okay.
To recognize that we are suffering and what is causing me suffering. Because most often we are out there solving problems. It's so easy for us to get into the problem-solving mode. The moment we face a challenge in our life, we immediately jump on that situation and see what is not all right with the situation. What should I fix? How should I fix this problem? So we don't actually acknowledge or realize that we are suffering within. We are hurt. We are angry. We are scared. And there is so much of pain within us, discomfort within us. To bring attention to that, that's the first step. That's where the journey begins.
Okay. Well, our next step here on the program, we need to take a short break. We're going to do that. I want to come back and talk about some of the next steps that we must take as the One World Academy teaches to move forward, to learn how to live a life that is for as much as possible free of suffering. And we're going to do that. And I want to remind our listeners that we are speaking with one of the faculty members from India directly, and her name is Pranam, and we are talking with her. She is in India right now, and we're going to continue our conversation with her. I'm Richard Dugan. You are listening to Tell Me Your Story. We want you to stay with us. We have more to come.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for joining us. The website for our program today is not just richarddugan.com, but it is also OneWorldAcademy.com, OneWorldAcademy.com, where you can find out more about the Academy, what they have to offer in the way of classes, retreats, etc. I'm curious, I'm already mispronouncing your name, and I apologize for that.
Purnima.
I want to know about a little bit more about this whole aspect of, suffering is such a huge part in all of our lives. And you actually define some other aspects that some people don't even think about when they say that when we think of suffering in terms of jealousy and some of these other emotions that come up. And you're also not talking about living an emotionless life, a life free of emotion, or even a life free of what we would consider to be the negative emotions, because my understanding is that we really need all of that. It's all part of the whole. It's when we get stuck, and seriously stuck, that's when we need to start taking a look at what's going on. So what are some of the other steps once we have become aware of our suffering? And for some of us, sometimes it's harder to see because we've buried it so deeply and it's become so much a part of our day-to-day life. Yeah. It's like, you know, I can't see the forest for the trees. So once we've made that step to awareness, Where do we go from there? And I really want to back that question up to ask in terms of timetable. Yes, you mentioned, for example, this woman story that you told. It was on a week-long retreat. But I'm curious, are there regular daily classes? Is it just an intensive for a week or 2 weeks or what have you? And then, I'm now going to be able to take these techniques and go and live my life and so forth, and maybe every once in a while get a booster shot of sorts. How long does this process, or might this process take?
The intensive is a week long, but the path of awareness that we teach here, we inspire people and tell people to make it a way of life. So basically our passion, so all of us have made awareness our way of life. That's how we are able to live a happy, meaningful life, because awareness is joy. Awareness is a source of joy. Awareness is a source of love. It's a source of inner freedom. Awareness is a source of compassion. So to live a life of awareness is what we have learned, and that's what we share with them. So people go back and they are taught some of the practices of awareness based on the teachings and the insights that they have had here in the program. The program itself, Freedom in Living, has different aspects to it. The first is the insights. Insights are the teachings, the right understanding. It is so important to have the right understanding about what suffering is. Because if you really want to be free of suffering, you need to know what suffering is. What is the nature of suffering? Why do we suffer? What are those causes for suffering? What is causing us suffering? So it's very important to know that. So those are the insights that we give at the Freedom in Living Intensive.
Such a thing as good suffering? Before we go on further, is there such a thing as good suffering?
No, Richard. There is nothing as good suffering.
There's nothing good about it.
No, because see, what is the root of suffering? What is suffering at its root? When we experience it, experientially, when you're going through a moment of hurt or a moment of jealousy, pain, fear, what are we thinking? Are we not thinking about ourselves? What is fear basically? Fear is a set of thoughts which say, what's going to happen to me? What if people do this to me? What are people thinking about me? It's about me, 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 me. What is hurt about? What are the thoughts that we think in hurt? It's about me, right? It's about ourselves. Why did you do this to me? I trusted you so much, and you cheated on me. You betrayed my trust. You hurt me. How could you do this to me? It's about me. Every emotion, destructive emotion, if you look at it, any emotion that's causing us conflict, emotional disturbance, if you look at it, the root of it is me, me, me. It's about ourselves. So whenever we are caught up in thinking about ourselves, we are preoccupied with ourselves. Where is the space for connection, for love, for joy? There is no space. We are preoccupied. So when there is no joy, when there is no connection, when there is no feeling for the other in a relationship, for instance, there can be no happiness, right? Mm-hmm. You're working and you're preoccupied with yourself. You're not able to connect to what you're doing. There is no love for that work. There's no passion for that work. How can there be happiness? There is no happiness. Take any suffering. What good does it do to you? In terms of your health, in terms of your relationships, in terms of your experience of life itself, You're sitting there, you're sitting in a very beautiful place, you've gone on a vacation to the most beautiful place on the planet with your family, with people you love the most. You're sitting there and then you're feeling this horrible emotion within you, horrible emotional state. And how is that vacation? How is that experience for you? You have everything. You have the most beautiful visual experience. You have the most beautiful people around you. But what has been your experience of the entire vacation, of the entire experience?
Mm-hmm.
It's been so horrible. So this, that is what suffering does to you. So there is no good suffering.
Okay.
All the meanings that you give around suffering, basically, it's been to manage suffering. We say suffering is, some religious people believe that suffering is a gift from God. God has sent suffering to us so that we become better, or we go closer to Him, or we learn through it, or we suffering is the way to dissolve our karma, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All these meanings that we give to suffering is being an attempt to manage suffering so that we have some beautiful meaning to it, so we can kind of make it more palatable, make it more manageable through life, because we don't know how to come out of it. We don't know how to get out of that place. So give it a better meaning so that we are able to manage it as long as it is there. So.
Well, Purnima, I'm quite intrigued by what the Academy has to offer, and I want to talk a little bit more, if we can, because you've done a very fine job of defining from the Academy's perspective suffering and what it is and what it isn't, and that there is no such thing as good suffering. I'm actually, and I'm sure many of our listeners are very glad to hear that there is no such thing as good suffering. And I also start to think about this in the context of something that I've thought of. I've tried to share with people as well in that the way in which they treat themselves. And, I was actually in a discussion, and this was many years ago, with a friend of mine. And we were talking along, and I said, I see the way that you you treat yourself and the way you talk about yourself and so forth. And I have to ask you, would you treat your friends the way you treat yourself? Would you say the things to the people who are closest to you that you say to yourself in private? And, of course, the answer is no. Well, of course not. They're my friends. They're my family. They're my brothers, sisters, mother, father, et cetera, et cetera. And so I said, well, then why do you say it to yourself? If you wouldn't say it to me, why would you say it to yourself? And to me, that again, that's that whole self-loathing, that one does not love oneself. And again, that's all part of that suffering process.
Yeah.
And I do find that that's rather interesting. I remember they're talking about, for example, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I've heard it kind of rewritten. Do unto others as if you were the others.
Yeah.
I get that the Academy, what I'm hearing is that it's kind of where the Academy is sort of coming from. If you want to treat others with kindness, treat yourself with kindness. Give yourself kindness and love. Because is it true? I went through the self-help phase of the 80s and 90s. I've been through workshops and programs and intensives through the 80s and 90s, like a lot of folks did, to try to get to the root of some of my issues. And I was successful in some instances, not so much in others, but nonetheless, it was a good experience. And I have to wonder sometimes if we're just kind of missing the boat. Is the One World Academy, from your perspective, and again, I don't know how much information you have about other programs around the world. I'm not talking in detail, but just the fact that they're out there. What the One World Academy offers and how it differs from what is being offered today that makes it work over those other modalities, if you will?
Honestly, Richard, I have not attended a lot of programs by other organizations, though I have read books, some books from some of the teachers of the world. What I would like to say is that the path of awareness and learning the art of dissolving suffering that we teach at One World Academy, that is what we have practiced and it works for us. And we have taught it and people have come back saying it has worked for them as well. So I cannot honestly say how, in comparison to some other path or some other teaching, how this works better than that. I think that is for somebody who is somebody like yourself to who has gone through a lot of programs to attend and then make the comparative study.
I think that one of the things that is so intriguing to me about all of this is the fact that you folks, that the Academy, from such a young age. Now, I guess the benefit is that your parents were also, shall we say, influenced by the same teaching, the same information that you are now getting. Have you seen an evolution, if you will, in the teaching? How has it changed over the last 15, 17 years that you've been involved?
Well, the teachings of the Academy, One World Academy, is what we have learned in the past 3 years. And we have been teaching it the last 3 years to people. And I think the teaching, how it has evolved, is something that you need to discuss with the founders. But how I can share with you from my experience has been that teachings are evolving, because when people go through their journeys and processes, whatever is more relevant to them, whatever we have applied and is more relevant to our lives is what we are sharing. For instance, my own path of awareness, every day as I practice, as I become more aware, the insight that is helping me, the clarity that is helping me, you know, that is what I share with somebody who comes up to me with a question, with a problem, with a challenge in their own journey. So I'm able to help them, support them with the clarity that I have. So the teachings are evolving because it is living. It is living through you, it is living through me, it's living through people who are actually living it. So that way the teachings are evolving. But how those teachings originated and how those principles have been evolving is a question that I think you need to ask Krishnaji and Preetaji when, if you have a chance to meet them and interview them. It would be a very interesting story to hear from them.
Well, and I am looking forward to that opportunity, and certainly look forward to getting more in depth with the founder on that. Now, your involvement has been, you know, obviously for 15 to 17 years and then some, because again, of your parents.
Yes.
So you have had this from probably since birth. This has been shared with you, but that's something that I find interesting. Okay, so I go to the Academy to try to work out my issues, try to work out not living with suffering, to work out living a more loving and fulfilling life, a life that I can thrive in and not just survive. How are there techniques that are taught so that parents can teach their children so that maybe the children won't need the Academy? I mean, think about it. Could we bring children into this world who don't need to be fixed? They're not broken. And guess what? They get to start working on their passion, their purpose in life from the get-go.
Absolutely, Richard. In fact, Preeta Jean, who's the co-founder, she does a beautiful session here at the Freedom in Living Intensive on the art of connection, where she actually teaches the participants the art of parenting, which is the art of connection itself. And Krishnaji and Preeta Ji are themselves parents, and they have a 9-year-old, 8-year-old daughter called Loka, and they are very conscious parents, and they share their insights into how actually parents could connect to the child and help the child become a happy individual. So they speak of a child growing up into a happy individual, and for which the parents need to have a vision for the child. It's not a vision of what the child has to become. Whether the child has to become a successful XYZ, that's something concerned with the external life. But what do you want the child to become as a person, the child's state of being? And how the parents have to be connected to the child's state of being all the time. When the child is a very a small baby, when the mother gives birth to the child, obviously the mother is so connected to the child. The mother is able to feel the child's hunger, the child's thirst. That's why the mother is instinctively reaching out to the child, even before the child could say, even before the child could feel it fully, the mother is there. So that's a connection. But as the child grows up and starts to verbalize its needs, slowly the parent, especially the mother, also the father, slowly kind of lose connection. You expect the child to say things, and you are just listening to the child's words, not actually connecting to the state of being of the child. So it takes an enormous amount of awareness and growth on the part of the parents to be able to connect to the child. And parents who have come here to the academy, they've gone through the Freedom in Living Intensive, and they've learned that. They've gone back and they have done that, and they have found that there's been a huge shift, transformation in their children. The children are starting to feel different. They are responding differently, not just to them, but to, to the other aspects of their life. And they're growing up to be better human beings. So it is possible, and that's the vision. How do you help a child grow up into a happy individual, compassionate individual, and somebody who can love himself or herself very naturally? And that's what they're doing to their own child, Krishnaji and Preetaji. They're doing that to their own child. And we are a witness to it. Loka is growing up with us here, and we are seeing her. So that's what we want to do to all the children.
Do you live on campus?
Pardon?
I say, do you live on campus?
Yes.
The faculty?
Yes. We all live on the campus. Yes.
Okay. And so there is no real separation, if you will, from the process that is taught at the academy. I mean, in other words, you're around people who can help to support you, to help to remind you of certain things and so forth in terms of remembering how to get back to that loving space and place that you were in before something happened that generated the suffering.
Richard, I don't know if I understood your question correctly, but I'll answer. In case I'm not answered, you can ask me again.
Sure.
We are living as a community here, and the team of people, the faculty and the senior faculty and the founders, we are living here as a community, and yes, living as a community is a huge strength because we are living with the same vision, and we all practice, live a life of awareness, and we share these teachings, we discuss, we share our experiences, our own journeys with each other, and we also ask questions. There is huge discussions on the teachings where we ask questions to Krishnaji and Preetaji, and where they ask us a few questions so that we are also prompted into, provoked into thinking. So it's a beautiful community of which we are a part. And also, people come here and they stay with us and they live on the campus and they learn. So we are also a part of this. So there is no real separation between the processes and our life. Yes, it is true in a sense, because we are here all the time. This work is our vision and our passion and our life. So there is no true separation, if that's what you wanted to ask me.
Yes, in essence, that's yes, exactly. Because it's interesting, with many of the programs that I've been involved with, you will go for 4 or 5 days, and you will just—it's an intensive. It's very intense. It's high-powered, if you will. And you go in there, and you're with like-minded people, and they want to change, and they want to transform. And then when the weekend is over, and everybody's saying goodbye, and there are the tears flowing, and you've learned all this great stuff, and you might have a booklet or something like that that you have with you, but then you go back into your world that you just came from, where all this stuff was fostered, that it was created, and you have to struggle to remember and not get caught up in those patterns all over again. And it seems to me like that's not the way to do it. The way that you folks are doing it, and some can label it in all kinds of different negative ways, I don't quite see it that way. It just seems to me like the way the One World Academy is doing it just seems to make more sense. Don't throw the fish out into the open water. We need to start. And I'm guessing that maybe that's the concept. And again, I will have the opportunity to speak with the founder. The concept of maybe starting communities and academies in different parts of the world to start this growing from a central location, so people can live their lives and thrive and live their purpose and so forth.
Yes. Richard, I just want to add a little bit here, probably clarify. People who come and live on the campus for 1 week and attend the Freedom in Living seminar intensive are people from different parts of the world, and they go back to their world.
Sure, I understand
they
that.
They don't stay here as a part of the community. It's only us 17 of us,
right,
who are a part of the community forever, like we are here. So, yes.
But even the teachers at some of the intensives that I've been through, they go back to their daily lives, they go back to their workaday worlds and so forth. And then they've got as intelligent and as learned as they might be, they still struggle with, again, those same kinds of issues. And then they've got to come back and sort of be brought back in a little bit, sort of a refresher course before they can then facilitate the next intensive for the group of people that's coming in. And I just think that what you folks are doing is you're reinforcing the base, the foundation in that context, it's like a history professor who spends his life around phys ed people when he's not in school, when he's not teaching in class, and he's not sort of reinforcing the education that he wants to impart. And so he has to kind of, get a booster shot of some sort. He's got to do it all. He's got to, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yes, I understand that. Yeah. That is basically because of this passion that is being there in us to live a life dedicated to this, because this is the meaning that we find to our lives. We're not on the search of something else. So we are just here. We are dedicated. We are here. We are here to live it ourselves, and we are very passionate to share it with people who want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I think it's quite remarkable that you folks are able to do that, because I think that it really benefits the folks that do come there for the week in a really big way, because you're around it all the time, 24/7, and so you never lose touch with it. You never lose the connection. You never lose the message,
yes,
the vision, and I think that
yes,
that says an awful lot. And I know some people say, well, then maybe the teachers should stay at the schools, you know, grade school, high school, and higher education. They should live there, you know, and so on. Well, maybe they should, you know. I mean, if it's your passion and you love to do it, why wouldn't you want to be around it all the time?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you say this is not religiously based. This is an educational institution.
Life education, if we want to term it that way. It's a school of wisdom, life education institution. So it's nothing to do with any religious beliefs.
Well, I want to, Purnima, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. It has just been an extraordinary visit, and I thank you so much for taking time out of, I know, what has to be a very early morning there to talk with us. And I look forward to my conversations with other members of the faculty. And I have only a couple of other questions, if I might, before we wrap up the program. They're questions that I put to my guests at the end of the program because they seem to elicit a much more interesting response once we've had the opportunity to touch on the foundations of the conversation and the principles of the new paradigms that we're bringing forth. So my first question to you is, Purnima, who is Purnima?
What I don't understand in what context you're asking me this, Richard, is it at in terms of?
Well, it's more of a, we'll call it a metaphysical question.
Okay. Who am I?
Yes.
It's a pretty deep question, Richard, I think, which might evoke a series of other questions. Okay. Well, in my observation and awareness, Purnima is an experience that's happening right now. The moment, at this moment, the thoughts that are going on, the thinking process that's happening, the physical experience of my body, and the sound that is coming out of my mouth as words, and the thinking processes that are going on, that is This experience is what is Purnima at this moment.
And what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing?
Well, my passion is to say I've seen how liberating it is to apply these teachings to my life, how enriched my experience of life has become, and how meaningful it is now. So when I meet people, when I interact with people, I have this passion very naturally to share it. Because it's been so beautiful for me. It has helped me so much. So I believe it can help anybody. Excuse me. So My passion is to help people live a greater life, a more meaningful life. And I know One World Academy and the vision of Krishnaji and Preetaji. They are very wonderful people. They are my mentors. They are very wonderful people. And they are people with a vision and with a large vision. And I'm very, very happy to be contributing to that vision, because that is in alignment with my own passion. And so that's what I want to do with my life. I see myself doing that the rest of my life.
And this goes to the human aspect of all of us. How powerful are we as human beings?
Well, we are very powerful spiritually, in the sense that we have the power to create our own experience. It is our choice to determine what kind of life we would live, what we would feel, what level of awareness we would live our life from, and what we are going to feel about the world around. Irrespective of what's going on around us, we have the power to feel the way we feel. We have the choice. We are not victims to situations. We are not victims to conditions around us. We have the power to determine our own destiny. We have that within ourselves. And if you see the other way, there are so many factors in the universe that are influencing us, and there are so many situations which we cannot change. We know there are so many things happening in the world which we wanted to be different, but we are not able to do something about it. So the other side, that is also there. But then I think if we can become conscious human beings who live life from an inner state of awareness and who are living a life of compassion and greater connection with the world around, we would be a huge power of influence. We would impact the world for good. And each of us, if we can do that, definitely the world is going to be a much, much better place. Each of us have our own circle of influence. And if we can be happy, compassionate people, then we are going to create an impact in the world around us. We are going to make a difference. And that's the power we have, the power to make a difference.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share with us your story and the story of the Academy, the One World Academy. That's oneworldacademy.com if you'd like to find out more. And I look forward to hopefully maybe talking with you again in the future. And if you or any of the faculty find yourselves out here on the west coast of the United States in the Santa Barbara area, please look us up. We'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Richard. We will be very happy to meet you in person. We would do that.
I look forward to that. And who knows, maybe, just maybe, if the fates will allow, maybe I'll find my way, my wife and I will find our way there to India and maybe visit the One World Academy.
You're most welcome to come here.
Again, my guest has been one of the faculty members of the One World Academy. Purnima is her name, and she's been involved for quite a long time, and we thank her again for joining us. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.